welcome everyone to another episode of Shypedia. This is Marsha, and I have a very special group of people, I would say important group, in the studio with me today, the Chicago Fund for Safe and Peaceful Communities. I have Miss Anna Lee, she's a program officer, and also Miss Tawa Mitchell, she's also a program officer. And as we know that gun violence has really been an issue in a community, these ladies has put this program together so that we can create a better environment and a more safe and peaceful, as what their organization says, a safe and peaceful community. And so we're going to talk to these ladies and get an understanding of what we have going on this summer. We'll start out with you, Tawa.
Okay. Hi. Thank you, first of all, for having Anna and me on. I wish we could take the credit for spearheading the Fund for Safe and Peaceful Communities and the Partnership for Safe and Peaceful Communities. So we, Tawa Mitchell from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation,
and Anna Lee from the Chicago Community Trust,
are two of the over 30 foundations throughout the city of Chicago, private philanthropy, corporate philanthropy, individual donors, and just folks with a good heart who all have been dismayed at the recent spike in gun violence in our beloved city since 2016. The fund specifically is one of four strategies that these funders have come together to invest in, both promising practices as well as proven practices for eliminating gun violence in cities throughout the country. And so we're trying to take the best of those models and really adapt them for our hometown. And so the Fund for Safe and Peaceful Communities represents that for us. And it really is an effort to put to bed a narrative in our city that says that folks that are affected by gun violence, who are living and breathing and working and existing in communities plagued by gun violence, are somehow apathetic or not necessarily interested in solving their own problems or putting their own self-determination at work. And so we know that's not true. And so these funders have come together, led also by Deborah Bennett at the Polk Brothers Foundation, specifically for this strategy around the Fund for Safe and Peaceful Communities. Have to shout out Polk Brothers and their leadership in this as well. But those funders, all of us, have come together to say, you know, we want to fund those organizations, those moms, those pops, those uncles and aunties, Black Club presidents, etc., and say they and lift up the narratives of the work that they're doing in their own communities every day to keep our communities safe and to take pride in their neighborhoods and change the story that I think is often told of our communities throughout Chicago.
Okay. Now, you said they came up with four different strategies.
Yes.
And this was one of them.
Yes.
What were the other three strategies?
So I can let Anna jump in,
okay,
too, but one is around providing direct services to those who are most likely to be shooters or likely to be shot. So providing them with cognitive behavioral therapy and a job, really, because we know and oftentimes that the folks that are committing the crime may be doing so to earn a living or put food on the table, or may not have had a successful path forward. And so this is an opportunity targeted at those who are in the median range, who are likely to be the most at risk. Mm-hmm. The second strategy is around police reforms that really help to build community trust and rebuild community trust. So these are things ranging from police accountability and the Grassroots Alliance for Police Accountability, which is a group of grassroots organizations who are trying to have a say in how police are held accountable and when there have been allegations of misdeeds. That's one side. And also investing in the police department, early intervention systems, strategic decision support centers, and other technology to ensure that the police are equipped with what they need to help keep our community safe and actually have and have the supports they need because they too experienced trauma on the job. They too became police officers because they wanted to help people. And sometimes things don't always work out that way. So we want to invest in those strategies that we have learned, again, from other places throughout the country, through our resources right here in Chicago, like the University of Chicago Crime Lab and elsewhere, that we know have been promised or proven to be effective. Mm-hmm. And lastly, strengthening law enforcement and gun policy reform. Mm-hmm. So, again, that involves a lot of other organizations who have really tried to raise the issue of gun violence, illegal gun trafficking to the city of Chicago, and trying to stop that.
Yeah.
So we can stop the killing.
Okay. And what is the, from 2016 to now, mm-hmm. How do you feel the program has been thus far?
Well, the Chicago Fund for Safe and Peaceful Communities Fund, as Tawa mentioned, is really to support those grassroots efforts. And we find that it's really encouraging. When we first started the fund in 2016, we were looking for ways to support those efforts. And we realized in the second year, what we really need to do is to build social cohesion to address those what we call preconditions to violence in the communities. So building trust and empowering all of the neighbors and the citizens to reclaim their communities. Talk about assets, right? Because we know that in many of these communities, while they are ridden by high rates of homicide, we know there are assets there. We mm-hmm. know that there are citizens who deeply care, and there are beautiful parts of those communities. So it's really uplifting those efforts.
Okay, because we all know that there was a no snitch code in the streets, and so you kind of just answered that there to make people more. Is that the goal, to make people more comfortable with maybe speaking to the police? Is that one way of looking at it?
I would say that that's one component.
Okay.
Certainly, rebuilding that trust okay. that's been broken with uh-huh. police departments or the police. But I would say it's also just knowing our neighbors, right, and having that connectedness that we know is important
mm-hmm.
to.
So it goes back to that saying it takes a community to
that's
raise
right.
a child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's just recognizing that once we're connected, right, that we will reclaim those and feel empowered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Since 2016, when we started, we had about $500,000 in the pot, if you will, for, and we were able to make about 72 grants to organizations and individuals throughout the city for these efforts. This year, for the summer of 2018, that number has now grown to $850,000 mm-hmm. and 132 grants that we are distributing throughout the city of Chicago.
Wow, that's amazing.
In the top 19 neighborhoods or Chicago community areas, if you will, that have been the most affected by gun violence, according to the statistics that we had available to us. So the fund definitely has grown. Our impact has grown. And the projects and programs range everything from community muraling projects to barbecues on corners and in parks to sort of take back spaces that seemed unsafe or the community had sort of turned away from because they were afraid. And so residents are saying, you know what, we want to reclaim that space as ours and do creative things with it. We have people doing community gardens. We have people doing drum circles. We have dance. And these are not ideas that we had. These are ideas mm-hmm. that come from Chicago residents. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for support to make those dreams a reality. So it's been really heartening to read the applications, to see just the level of creativity and inspiration really found. You know, just like WGN has Chicago's very own, these really are Chicago's very own folks, and often unsung in the work that they do.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I would also add that, you know, we've made a few tweaks since 2016, and the most recent one we made this past summer is to focus on grassroots organizations that have smaller operating budgets, and they may not even be formal 501c3s, but working with a partner who has that designation, so that we really do support those very local, hyper-local activities that Tawa had mentioned.
Which has always been a focus since the beginning, but as the popularity of this fund grew, other organizations with extremely large operating budgets were applying to us as well.
Yeah.
And so we noticed that spike in 2017. Mm-hmm. So to Anna's point, to ensure that it remained a focus on the hyper-local and not just who could write the best grant, we capped the operating budget at $500,000. Not to say that large social service agencies or other organizations aren't in need and that we shouldn't support those as well. This is just not the fund for them.
That's right.
Okay. That's right. And how many applications did you get?
This year we received 300 and over 300 applications.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And they were, I have to tell you, fantastic ideas. Many of them were, you know, worthy of being funded. We only had, as Tawa mentioned, $850,000. Mm-hmm. And while that's a lot of money, it you know, we were able to expend it very quickly.
Yes.
Yep.
Wow.
It's exciting.
And what are a few that stood out?
A few that stood out. I mean, there are so many.
Yeah.
I would say that there was a lot of intergenerational activities. So, as Tawa mentioned, there's the Drum Circle at 63rd Street Beach.
The Drum Circle.
Yes. So Real Men Charities, which is known for their work with Real Men Cook every Father's Day, and they're based in South Shore. They have two publications. One is The Current, which is focused on South Shore, and one is South of the Ryan or something of the Ryan. Forgive me, Yvette Moyo and Obari Cartman, who run this organization. But they had an idea that they submitted to us to do drum circles in particular corners and engage community members. And that was just something that the committee gravitated towards because it was new and it was interesting and just a unique idea to really reclaim that space. And just anybody who's heard an African drum knows that that call
is it like the drum guys that you may see when you're driving down?
Those are maybe like the bucket boys.
The bucket boys,
But that absolutely, that whole spirit, that whole history of that comes from, you know, Africa and that just the effect of African drumming. And so that, to have a healing, their idea was that that has a healing effect on community and could potentially have a healing effect on community.
There's also Black Girls Break Bread, which is a great one that was also mentoring young girls with women and just getting around together to, number one, share a meal, right, which is restorative and healing. But then also, as we build that trust, to have discussions about just topics about wellness and respect and just building your self-esteem, right, and making smart choices. And those are activities, and they'll be having several events throughout the summer.
Okay.
So, and these activities, many of them are standalone activities. There might be one or two wellness fairs, or and then there are a few that are ongoing projects throughout the summer,
throughout
like
the summer
camps, right?
And it does carry over to the fall.
Well, so many of these activities, the term is from Memorial Day this past weekend all the way through Halloween.
Okay.
And again, it's pretty varied in the different activities. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's like marches for peace, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, just great stuff
Wow.
going on.
And as a result of all of this in the past few years, have you seen a difference with some of them? Does any of them stand out that you've seen enter maybe, you know, one of these programs and they may have had certain issues, and then after attending some of these programs that may have changed them a little bit?
I mean, I have to say, this past, I would say in this time in our country, what has been one of the things that has personally and professionally excited me is just youth voice and how that's been amplified.
Okay.
And youth-led activities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that we've also highlighted is activities that build social cohesion that are led by youth coalitions. You'll be hearing from a grant recipient later today.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was just reflecting on what Anna was saying and some of the other examples throughout the city, and there really are just really phenomenal examples. Tamar Manessa from Mothers Against Senseless Killings was another grant recipient last year, and I think her work has been amplified in the Tribune and other places, just using banding together with her neighbors and cooking out and trying to create a lively, festive, and safe atmosphere for children in the community. And there are just countless examples of fund grantees who are making a difference every day. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So we have 132 organizations that you chose.
Yes.
And because it just started, it's Memorial Day. So we found the people, we found the groups.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we do have someone in the studio with us today. I have David Rojas from Alliance 98. So he is one of the grant winners. And we can talk to him. But is there anything else that we can speak on about the program?
You know, I would just Tawa had mentioned that the geographic area is 19 specific community areas.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we are just delighted. This is we're so excited to be able to make these what was a very challenging decision.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so incredibly humbling just to fund these efforts that are really of and for the community.
Absolutely. And I think if you want to learn more, please visit us at safeandpeacefulshy.org and follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at Safe Peaceful Shy. So that's at Safe Peaceful Shy on all the social media platforms. Again, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And go to our website, safeandpeacefulshy.org. And I think you will be able to see all 19 communities. You'll be able to see all the list of all 132 organizations that were funded this round. And you can figure out how you can join us and how you can support us for next year.
Yeah, yeah. And then we'll also see photos throughout the summer.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There also will be a calendar which shows all the different activities and where they'll
come
be.
Come out and support.
That's right.
So then they can go to this website and pick which one they think will interest their child and get them involved. And that's what it's all about, is getting exposed and becoming involved in things. So we could just stop this violence on the streets.
Exactly.
That's right.
Hopefully, we all know what happens when it hits 90 degrees outside.
Yes.
You know, people want to start, you know, acting up.
That's
but
right.
You know what? I think those numbers are down this year thus
right.
far.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't have the statistics on that right now.
I think, I won't speculate. I think I heard on the news this morning that they were down from 2016, but not necessarily down from 2017.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still hope.
Mm-hmm.
There's still lots of wonderful things happening in each of our communities. And these activities, as Anna said, many of them are intergenerational. So they're not just for young people. They're for adults, too, who might be interested in finding an activity in their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
And I would mention, you know, what we find is that if we see any, what we want to see is that decrease in the number, right? Because one is too many.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that these efforts are cumulative, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we need the police reform. We need the police training. We need
community involvement.
That's right. All
we
of it.
All jobs. Of it. We need.
Now, with the community,
the
with
support.
The police help, Do you see that being better in these areas?
I mean, I am a lifelong Chicagoan. I was born and raised in this town, and I have only known police officers in every community to be to want to go on that job to help people and to help make communities safer. I think it's a stressful job.
Yeah.
I think if you go into something wanting to help people and every day you see examples of the opposite, you know, it does affect the way you may look at the world in terms of cynicism, in terms of, you know, what we might deem as quote unquote customer service, right? But more often than not, police at their core want to help people and they want to build that bridge. And similarly, residents, they want to feel safe. They don't want to be policed.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know that the police that are working their beat or are part of their district are members of that community just as they are. And so I think one of the hopeful outcomes of this effort is that more community residents will find opportunities to engage their police in a their police officers in a non-combative situation. And of course, they should come when called, but they can also come to just have a cup of coffee and have a conversation. And many of them are very, very open to doing that. And so, yeah, hopefully this will help with that in some small way.
And some of the activities, funded activities, actually engage police officers in some of these really fun activities. So if there's like a bike ride, police
5Ks.
Officer major, 5Ks, right. If there's, I know that in the past there's been like food distribution, right? And police officers have come in and helped with that.
Or baseball games, softball games, basketball games.
Art activities.
Yeah.
And they're accompanying these kids to different
adults. They're participating
just
as other community members are.
That's sort of changing the kids' trust then, because a lot of kids have in their mind that, you know, we don't trust the police.
Right.
So that's kind of building up their trust.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, from Superintendent Johnson on down, the Chicago Police Department has been very supportive of the Partnership for Safe and Peaceful Communities. The command staff is aware. And so to the extent, as Anna mentioned, that they have their guys and gals participating in these activities, they absolutely have been and will continue to do so.
Oh my gosh. We also recognize that there's just a lot of work to be done, right?
It is. So, it is.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm loving it.
Yay. We are too.
And I am so thrilled that, you know, this is really getting the youth involved, and that's what it's all about, because a lot, they don't have anything to do. Well, that was the issue, is that they didn't have anything to do, and a lot of them are a part of these households where, you know, may not be the ideal situation. So this is a great way, say if that's the issue, you know, how can you still get these kids out of these homes where the parent does not really put in that time for their child? Say if the parent doesn't get the child involved, how do we get these children out of their homes into these programs?
Well, again, as Tawa mentioned, all of these activities, there are many that are geared specifically for young people. Many of them are intergenerational, so it may be for adults or for seniors and or for multiple groups. And I would say that not just the fund, but there are citywide efforts that are engaging. We recognize that youth employment is a key component to addressing the issues of community violence. And there are fantastic efforts throughout the city that are addressing that issue.
Okay. We're going to spread the word.
We're going to spread it.
Yes.
And we have to get our kids out there. I am so about this.
Yes, indeed.
We have David Rojas from Alliance 98. And he's one of our grantees. And he looks really, really prepared. He looks, he's bright-eyed and... he looked like he's ready to take this on for the summer. So please tell us what you have lined up and what Alliance 98 is about.
Sure. Well, I first and foremost, I just want to say thank you to all the funders and all the folks that have been just mentoring us throughout the entire process. TA98 is a membership-driven organization. We really want to provide young people with spaces where they can grow in entrepreneurship, technology, and social media. And so I know we've been talking a little bit about how we can get young people involved, and it's you know, what they've known, and it's their phones, it's computers, it's really diving into the 21st century skill sets that we're really going to need to be able to thrive. And so I'm proud to be one of the founders. I started this whole idea, this whole concept in undergrad, and one of my my biggest inspirations, Roberto Rivera, who's one of my mentors, he really gave me that space to be able to deal with my trauma and be able to really form something. And so we always talk about how we can move from prevention to invention, and how can we really create. And so that's how we really started to generate. And I mean, over the years, we've just added so many more mentors to the mix. And so I really owe it all to the funders and to all of the mentorship that we've been having.
Oh, wow. I like that. From prevention to invention. Yeah. And as we all know, is that this technology thing has really taken us by storm, and that's all we do now is we play with these phones, and there's so many things to do with them. We have apps. Is that something that you guys create? It's like you're teaching them how to put together apps and
so,
things like that?
That's one of our goals, right?
Okay.
It's to be able to have a space. And so we're starting off really small, so we don't have too much things that we have to worry about. But right now, our main goal is to launch some programs and quantify those programs, because like I was telling us, some more folks in the studio, if you don't have no data, it don't matter, right? And so I think at the same time, right now, we are really trying to understand our young people. Mm-hmm. And really understanding trauma. And so at this standpoint right now where we're at, we're going to be launching Suited for a Cause, which is a program that's going to be designed for 8 weeks. And we're going to have 10 men, 10 women from Little Village. They're going to go through a comprehensive program. Where at the end of the program, they're going to put together a culminating event for the entire community at their high school. And so we are already working with the high school. We're going to get the District 10 police involved. And we're going to get all of the local tailors and all of the local restaurants that helped put together Suited for a Cause throughout the entire city. And so I can tell you more about what Suited for a Cause is. And so this idea really came about when I got my first tailored suit when I was a sophomore in high school. And that changed the trajectory of my entire life.
How?
You build your confidence, and I think that's one of the biggest things, is you have to build your self-esteem, right? And so for a lot of our young people, we've always been told that you're not good enough, or you have to be like this. There's a standard that you have to fit in. And for a lot of us, we just want to be able to feel free, right? And so for me, that was the first time that I ever seen a professional walking with a suit. Right. I was like, man, that looks cool. Right. Like, that looks dope. Like, I want to become that. And so a lot of our young people can't be what they can't see.
Yeah.
And so we're gathering all these social entrepreneurs. We're gathering all these influencers, all these creative folks who have businesses. And we're giving these young people suits. And we're finding these local tailors to be able to help their own. Get discounts, get them into the door, create more revenue, really drive economic, I'd say, movement. And so I'm starting it back home in Little Village, and I'm just proud to be able to now not just do a standalone event, but be able to really scale and you know, find ways to sustain this effort.
I love that, because nowadays people are judged by their appearance. And that's another way of looking at it, is that the kids, you know, it's not all about baggy pants. You know, the goal is to get a job, you know, to build a life, you know, and do it honestly. And, you know, if they're wearing clothes that just doesn't look, you know, professional, then, you know, how are we going to get there? So that is a great idea.
And there's a lot of folks involved in this, and so one of the main reasons is because we ultimately need to be able to build our own jobs, right? Like, we're not moving into a very interesting time in our era where a lot of young people can really create their own positions, can create their own revenue.
Okay.
It's just knowing how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, finding those mentors and those resources that can allow you to do that,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can have a passion project that keeps you going while you're working.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ultimately want to be able to be those sort of a success coach, really be able to plan this whole life out,
mm-hmm.
right? And things might not go as planned, but at least you have one and at least you have options.
Yeah.
And so I think for us, it's really understanding the individual and just making sure that we are as holistic as we possibly can be.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, from growing up in a little village to going off to Connecticut College and then coming back home, there's a lot of different shifts and there's a lot of different cultures that you really have to absorb and
mm-hmm.
at the same time understand. And if you don't have a space to really deconstruct that, you're always going to be in like an airy place. You're going to be like in limbo sometimes.
Uh-huh.
So,
mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So that's one of the things. Let's get more in detail about everything else that you're offering these kids, the youth, and everyone involved.
Sweet. So we are going to be launching a soccer program
okay.
because Chicago and the U.S., I mean, we did not make the World Cup this year. And I think that is a tragedy because of all the talent that we have. And so this upcoming weekend, actually, June 2nd and 3rd, we're going to be partnering up with some pro soccer players from the MLS and some international folks and some remarkable volunteers that also play soccer and just love football. And not the football you throw the ball with.
The football.
Right? And so we're going to be hosting our first camp this summer.
Okay.
And we're really trying to end pay to play. Because soccer, ultimately, if you don't have the funds, you can't play travel. You can't really do anything with soccer. And in most of the rest of the world, yeah, all you need is a soccer ball and maybe some few rocks to put some goalposts,
uh-huh.
and you can play.
Yeah.
And so we're teaming up with different folks. We're doing research, and we're trying to connect with other people that can ultimately help us scale that, too. So that's another program that's in the works. Our third product is a tech shop where we're teaching young people about technology.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be building computers and we're going to be talking about apps. We're going to be talking about websites. We're going to be doing all of that. And the goal for tech shop is ultimately to be able to train young people and go into their neighborhood and help local businesses with their social media, with their technology, and really help mom and pop shops stay in business.
That's what it's all about nowadays, is the social media.
Yep.
Getting your name out there. And people get paid to do that.
Exactly.
Pretty good money. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So we have the technologies, the suits, and we have the soccer with the football. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And this is for any child, right?
So our main target is 16
okay.
to 35, but we are trying to be as inclusive as possible. And so there's a lot of dialogue, intense conversation about how to get as many people as involved. And so right now we're looking to do what's in front of us now, but really scale this to ultimately, ideally, have a civic center. I'm thinking of maybe, you know, like trying to connect with some developers and own a center where we can have this and we can really have a space
mm-hmm.
to be able to do all these things and have folks from all ages. The soccer camps are ideally for like younger students in middle school
mm-hmm.
Going on to high school. So I'd say that we're reaching out to the middle school population as well. So we're trying to be, again, like I mentioned, as holistic as we possibly
yeah.
can because
mm-hmm.
people, I mean, like we're all people. And so we all need a space to, you know, be good,
mm-hmm.
do good and just be around, you know, positivity.
Everyone deserves that opportunity.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to mention, the Safe and Peaceful Community grant that we were granted for $5,000 is really going to allow us to take care of our students throughout those 8 weeks, to be able to not only get them food, because we need to feed our students,
yeah,
but also tailor their suits, put together our event. And so ultimately, when we were looking at different ways to scale this and have a stream of like revenue come in so we can have the sustainability of our programs there, we connected with one of our mentors, and he showed us the Safe and Peaceful Community grant. He's like, mm-hmm, I think you can get this. I mean, this is going to be great. And so with him, we started strategizing on how we can implement it. There's a lot of brainstorming. And we came with a comprehensive application that was very easy. And we had learned about the grant in maybe 2 weeks before it was due. So it was, I mean, we put the grant together in, say, 2 days after the whole brainstorming session. So it was really quick. And I think if we can continue to have those opportunities, more people will definitely be inclined to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, overall, I'm excited to be able to help even more organizations learn about these opportunities. So if there's a way for us to even collaborate with the funds to be able to do some marketing, do some social media, and get our young people involved, I think it's a win-win for everybody, and especially for our young people, because they love doing this stuff,
mm-hmm,
right? And
yep,
so it's all about learning the science behind all the analytics, you know, from Instagram, all of the things that we need to ultimately know about. We're showing these young people how to do it.
And to be hands-on. That's really awesome.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, David, I thank you so much for sharing that with us. I want you to get your information out there so that we can get everyone signed up. And you have an Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or a website we can go
to?
We
do. So you can look us up online. So www.ta98.org. We are also on IG and Facebook and Twitter with the Alliance 98. So, yeah, follow us, and we'll be sure to continue promoting all the good work that all of our partners on, like,
and this is just
organization.
One. This is just one.
So,
yeah,
there's a lot of us that are doing some tremendous work, so I'm just proud to be in the movement and just be another young professional that's trying to change something. So,
yeah, you seem like a pretty young guy, too. That's what we need, you know. So, thank you. Thank you. And I wish you much success. Well, of course, I know you will be successful. And I thank you for joining us here on Shypedia. And we'll be sure to get the word out. Once again, thank you, David.
Awesome. Thank you.